Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about different ways for you to increase your customer lifetime value.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
So the idea here is, you have a business, you have a startup, you have customers. Congratulations, right? But a lot of people out there, a lot of businesses out there, the way you start is that, you know, you're trying to build something people care about. You get some, you know, early customers, and then eventually you start figuring out how, you know, you start asking more questions about how healthy is my business model, how much revenue are we really making per customer, and then also how are we going to grow this business. And the answer to how you grow it, what kind of challenge you're going to have to acquire more customers, is strongly influenced and dictated by how much money you're making per customer. Because, you know, the more money you make, the more options you have in how much money you can spend to acquire a customer. So I wanted to just chat with you. You have so much experience. We both have advised, helped, and built so many different businesses and experimented with this a lot. So for people that are out there that are like, you know, I'm making money, but I'm not making that much money per customer, how can I make more money? What are my ways to increase my customer lifetime value? Let's just bang a few of these out there and give people like a framework that they can go through if they are in that spot and they're looking to increase the revenue and profits they make per customer.
Yeah. You know, the truth is, like, there's not that many ways to increase customer lifetime value. And it's really just about breaking down what are the different opportunities that you have in your business. And, you know, we could get into really complex things like change your customer, right?
Yep.
So what I'm curious about, Stelly, is like, what guardrails would you like to put on the discussion on this one?
So let's do this. Let's actually focus on the few basic simple ways that you can do with your installed customer base. And then once we bang through those, we could say, hey, if you think through all these or you've tried all these and you're still not making enough money, then the only alternatives are A, B, and C without going too much detail on how to execute on these things.
Cool. So one way is you get more money from existing customers by selling them something more, right?
Yep.
Another way is you just raise your prices.
Yeah.
Which is a very common piece of advice that almost everybody gives to everybody else in SaaS, especially. And probably in almost any category, because whatever you're charging, you're probably not charging enough, is kind of the thesis. I could argue that point, but like, that is the second way.
Let me stop you right there real quick and let me ask you this question. I think I know the answer, but I still want to ask the question, which is, have you, out of the hundreds or even the thousands of founders that you've ever met, have you ever met a startup where your first piece of advice after talking to them was, whoa, your price is way too high?
It's rare, but it happens.
It happens. I've never had this case before.
Yeah. Maybe I've had it once or twice because someone's just being ridiculous, right? They're like, oh, I think small, medium businesses are going to pay me $2,000 a month. Actually, wait, hold on. What do they pay for every day, you know, and every month? And can they even afford that? And how important is what you're doing? So I literally, that was the exact discussion. Okay. That was probably only once. But yes, you're correct. I think most people do not charge enough. So one of the easiest ways is just think through what you're charging and see if there are any experiments, any tests you can run to increase the price and see what happens. This is actually one of the reasons I love sales, especially early days of sales when you're actually doing inside sales or even outbound or whatever process you have, because you can, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you are the expert here, but you can easily just talk to somebody and charge every person you talk to more and more money, or say that you were going to charge them more and more money, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of the easiest ways to figure out a price point, which is you want some people to say no, but you want most people to say yes. If nobody's saying no to your price, you're probably charging too little. And there's probably some signals that you can get easily. You know, the most common conversation I've actually had around pricing, in person especially, is like, oh, I told them that price and I wish I would have charged more. Because they told me that's cheap. and I want to give you one quick tip on this before we continue, which is, it is your fault if you're charging them too little and you could have known that you could have charged them more.
Yeah.
It means you didn't do your homework to figure out what they were willing to pay based on what they're already paying for. So a better way to approach it would be, if you're replacing something they're using, ask them how much they pay for it. If you're replacing something they're using and you know what it is, go to get on a sales call, get on a demo, go do that thing with that company that you are replacing and go understand what their pricing model looks like if it is not on a website. You should do that anyways for a whole bunch of reasons, but that's key because you should know what your customer is paying for before you even talk to them and how much they're paying, ideally. If you don't know, then that can be one of the first things you go after in your conversation with them. And you should. I have never seen a place where the customer will not tell you what else they are paying for. I don't know if you have.
No. A lot of times people never ask the question because they assume the customer would never tell them. You'd be surprised what people will tell you just if you ask them, right?
Everyone will tell you. I've never had an instance where they won't tell you what they're paying for and how much because what's it to them? It's another software they use, right? Like it's nothing to them, you know, and you could find out yourself, but it's nice to know what that specific company's paying, why they love it and what they're paying for. And a lot of times founders are just scared of competition, right? And embracing it is important. And so that is your probably biggest way to increase your lifetime value and how much you charge just by understanding what they're paying for and where you should set your pricing based on that.
I love that. And we talked about it in a prior episode on like how to cultivate a bias towards action. It's funny, I had a conversation just recently with a founder where they told me they had doubled their price monthly and it made no difference in their conversion rate. That like basically a SaaS product that got a good amount of traffic and people would just like upgrade themselves. And they were like, well, we were debating this for 6 months and we doubled the price recently. And wow, we would be so surprised that it made no difference to our conversion rate. So we think that was a really good step. And then I asked them because the price still seemed very cheap to me. I went, how did you decide for this price? And they're like, I don't know. It just seemed like doubling would be the most aggressive thing we can do. I'm like, okay.
Ooh, so aggressive. Right? I like it. That's a good word in pricing.
Yeah. So I asked them, okay, so you doubled and it made no difference. When are you going to double again? When are you going to, like, you need to push to see where is the ceiling here, right? And yeah, they totally looked at me and they were like, oh, shit. Mm. Huh.
Missed opportunity.
And I'm like, are you guys nuts? Like you doubled and it made no difference. And you're just like,
Double again.
Yeah, yeah. They were just totally content and happy that happened. They're like, oh my God, it didn't change anything. Well, then we need to double. I'm like, the goal is to get to a point where it starts making a negative impact. Then you know that's our ceiling, right? And you can go down from there. But until you get there, why are you stopping? And they're like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah, we should do this. We should probably do this in like a few months. I'm like, what few months? Today? Can we just change the pricing right now? Like, what's stopping you from doing this? And they could not come up with a single thing that would stop them from changing the price again, other than their own psychological barriers, right? So it's funny to see a founder or founders that increase the price and are surprised that it didn't really affect the conversion rates. But then it's baffling or heartbreaking to a certain degree that didn't prompt them to think, we need to do this more until we really know, you know, what the ideal pricing is here.
I love it. Love it.
So we talked about upselling, selling the existing customers more stuff. We talked about increasing pricing for the stuff you're already selling them, right? Whatever the plans are, the features, the products, whatever it is, just charge more. And then the third thing I think is, at least if it's a subscription product, is keeping your customers longer around or making them use your product more so that,
lower your churn,
improve your retention, and improve whatever you want to call that, like the usage within the organization. If your pricing is based on some kind of number of seats or number